Candy Cosplay, and you're listening to We Got the Geek.
Well, the plane's finally down, and the engine stopped their sound. I look in the crowd, and there you stand. And the gap that once was time is forever closed behind. 'Cause I told you I'd come back, and here I am. Yes, I told you I'd come back, and here I am. I told you I'd come back, and here I am.
All right, it's Jay Stu, and welcome to another episode of the Geekly Session. This week, a little different. We're actually in the car, traveling to a concert. I'm with my friend of 36 years, Mr. John Merry.
Hello.
Last time you were on, a few years ago, I think we reviewed Thelma and Louise.
Yeah, and Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, and there was alcohol involved.
Yes.
but the concert we're heading to right now is the Monkees. Figured we'd talk a little bit about how we got into them. And, I don't know, were you always into them when you were a kid, or...?
My brothers were. My brothers are like 10 or 11 years older than me. They were. So I remember listening to them.
Yeah, my dad had the 45 for I'm a Believer, and the flip side was Stepping Stone. I think I still have it somewhere, too. He had that, and then later on, for some reason, like when I was like 10 or 11, all of a sudden the album of Birds, the Bees, and the Monkees showed up at our house.
Yeah.
And that one was the one that had Daydream, Believer, and Valerie on it.
Yeah.
I don't know where it came from, it just all of a sudden was at the house. And then I remember seeing the show a few times when I was a kid, but I never really got into it.
No, me neither. Not back then.
No, it was, do you remember in the 80s when they did their 20th anniversary?
Yep.
By the way, that's like 32 years ago now.
I know.
And then they were everywhere at the time.
Yeah.
And that's where I first started getting into them, and then I watched the show.
Yeah,
and
they brought, Much Music brought the show back, and they were.
Yeah, Much Music got here in Canada, and.
Rhino Records re-released.
Yeah, I had a few of their cassettes. A friend of ours, Dave, sold them to me for like $5 a piece. Never got to see them then. They did a concert in Toronto. Well, what's now the Molson Amphitheater. I can't remember what it was back then. Yeah, Ontario Place. Yeah. They did a show. And it was just the three of them, Mickey, Davey, and Peter. Because Mike had sat out a bunch of shows. And I think not too long after that, they put out that wonderful album, Pool It.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, has not held up well at all.
Mike was not involved in that either.
No, they were in the pool on the cover, hence the name of the album. And, yeah. But then, I think I really seriously started getting into them a lot when, actually, you and I lived together for a bit in the early to mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
And around that time, they re-released all their albums on CD.
Yeah,
and that's where I got to hear a bunch of stuff for the first time. That's when we discovered Mike Nesmith had a solo career.
That's
which
right.
Which I knew nothing about.
That's right.
And
You got a box set, didn't you?
I had a box set, yeah. I remember, actually, because much like today, we were going to Toronto. And we were with our friend Scott and my girlfriend at the time, Andrea. And they were not impressed with our song selection. Like, I threw in one of the cassettes that had the most Mike songs on it. But yeah, I had a box set. I think I still have that one somewhere. As we listened to the albums back then, we realized Mike was our favorite, obviously, right?
Yeah.
I would say followed by Peter for me.
Yeah, me too.
Well, he didn't get many songs on the albums.
No.
Ancient Grizzel did.
But they were actual, like, real musicians.
Yeah, I think that's why I like them the most. Although, I guess Mickey really could play, and Davey too.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mike's songs were always my favorite, and then I got some of his solo albums, and a lot of his early stuff sounds like stuff, you know, he would have heard the Eagles do or something like that. As far as seeing them live, I did get to see them a couple times with Davey and Peter and Mickey. And I'm glad you're going to be here tonight, because I remember, like, about 6 years ago, we tried to go see them in Buffalo when Mike came back.
Yeah, I had a passport issue and couldn't go.
Yeah.
Did you said you saw them with Davey, Mickey, and Ed Peter,
yeah. I saw them, remember that album, Just Us?
Yeah.
Which also hasn't held up well.
Right.
I went with them because at that time, all four of them got back together.
Right.
And they did an album together, and then they toured England. And then they announced a tour here in Canada. I went with a couple people, this is in the 90s, I went with a couple KFC people to see it. And it was decent. They did nothing off of Just Us, even though it was out at the time.
But Mike wasn't there.
Mike wasn't there. They made it sound like he was doing the tour in North America, and then all of a sudden he wasn't there. And years later, they just said they got bad reviews in England, and he got upset about it, so he didn't want to tour around here with them.
I see.
Which, how cool would it have been to see all four of them again? And then, so I'm excited because I get to finally see them with you, and it's Mickey and Mike tonight.
Yeah.
Peter had other things to do, I guess, like solo stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
But another weird thing is, like, a couple years ago, they did their 50th anniversary, and Mike came out to be a guest on some of the shows and said he was done, like, as far as playing with the Monkees ever again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting he's decided to come back for this. 2016, they did a tour for the 50th anniversary. They had a new album out called Good Times, which
right.
actually is a good album.
Okay.
And it was just Peter and Mickey.
Okay.
Mike came out to a couple of the shows, I guess. And then at the last one, he played with them, said, "This is the last time I'm ever going to play with the Monkees."
That's right. I remember now, yeah.
So it's kind of surprising he's back, but cool, though.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm going to forget how, right after Davey passed away, he announced that he was going to be touring with Peter and Mickey.
Yeah.
And he was on his Facebook page, and he just kind of slipped it in.
Yeah.
Was he talking about his barbecue or something and how good the food was? Oh, and by the way, I'll be touring with Peter and Mickey.
Yeah. That's sneaky. Now, I'm not sure what to expect tonight, because I've been trying to stay away from, like, spoilers.
Yeah.
We were mentioning earlier off the reporter, though, that they had some rehearsals, and one of the musicians had a music stand and a list there, and it looked like a lot of Mike songs and obscure stuff, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, they rehearsed a bunch of stuff that they've never done live.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I guess in another interview, Mike said... because they did two albums as a trio with Davey.
Right.
But really the only song they've ever played off those albums live was Listen to the Band. So they were concentrating on stuff from those albums, I guess.
Right.
Which is interesting. And as far as the band goes, I guess his son is there tonight, Mike's son.
Oh, really?
And Mickey's sister.
Oh.
And it's going to be good, I think.
I think so.
I think we're going to be surprised. Anything in particular you would like to hear tonight?
Myself?
Yeah.
I want to hear Door in the Summer, because that's...
Yeah,
it's a great song. It's actually... I think you said it was your favorite. It's mine, too.
That's my favorite Monkey song. Yeah. Never mind Mike.
Yeah, mine, too. Jeez. I don't know. I'm just really looking forward to hearing the Mike stuff, because... well, I remember back on the show, he didn't really get a lot of, like, they didn't really do a lot of Mike songs. He was usually kind of in the back, like a George Harrison type of character, yeah.
So. I guess they even rehearsed some of his solo stuff.
Oh, really?
For tonight, yeah. But he refused to play Joanne, because I guess he recorded that after the Monkees.
Oh, okay.
Whereas a lot of this stuff, you remember... Also, in the 90s, Rhino put out these albums called Missing Links.
Yeah.
Where it was all unreleased stuff.
Yep.
They were rehearsing stuff on those albums for show, too.
Jeez.
That's right. So maybe we'll hear Michigan Blackhawk.
Yeah, I forgot about that one, too. Yeah, that
Or, If I Ever Get to Saginaw Again.
Oh.
You know what would be awesome? If they did that song, All the King's Horses.
Yeah, that's right. That was another one, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess they rehearsed everything pretty much. And, wow, Mission Impossible 6. But I digress. So what we're going to do then, we're on the way to the show now. We're going to come back after the show and do a quick review. tell you guys if we were surprised by anything. And then if you're cool with it, John, after the review, we do a segment on this show every week called the Geek Calendar.
Okay.
Where we just talk about stuff coming up this week, including celebrity birthdays.
Okay.
And let me tell you, it's fitting that you're here tonight, because there is a lot of famous TV stars having birthdays next week.
Oh, really?
That's right. And I don't want to tell you who they are now, because you're going to love some of them. So we're going to go see the Monkees, and we'll be back later.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Sketchbook Comics and Games is a store that has something awesome for everyone. In addition to selling comics, board games, and action figures, there are tables for open gaming. Wednesday nights, Sketchbook features game night starting at 6 p.m. Friday through Sunday, Sketchbook is the place to be for Magic the Gathering. The store is located at 224 Glenridge Avenue, Unit 9 in St. Catharines. Come on down for all your geek and comic book needs.
I think Davey's right. Just because you can thrill a toddler by chewing with your mouth open doesn't mean you should. It's not exactly a reference standard.
Don't you think playing for little kids would be fun?
I think playing for little kids is fun. But I don't think we have to do any more than play our music. I mean, maybe a few dance steps, but other than that, we're the Monkees. That's all we need to be.
This is it.
All right, we're back. It's a few hours later. We're on our way home back to St. Catharines. First of all, let's talk about something awesome that happened to us when we got there to the show. We immediately got upgraded in our seats. From what I understand, a lot of the seats didn't get sold out, so they wanted to fill in all the bottom rows. So we went from a balcony seat down to the floor, and that was pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, it was.
Now, I'm going to ask you this, because it's your first time seeing the Monkees live.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Oh, it was great. Like I said earlier, it might have been one of the best shows I've ever seen, like, of anybody. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. I knew they were rehearsing stuff that, well, like I said, some stuff they hadn't played in years, some stuff that they'd never played before, so I didn't know what to expect. And it was just, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, with the songs, they went pretty deep.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, they
there
did.
Wasn't a lot of hits played. Like, maybe five or six?
Yeah, like, they'd start playing the intro to a song, and we'd be like, wow, they're doing this?
Yeah. There were some Mike solo songs, like we thought.
Yep.
They did play Door in the Summer.
Yeah.
Which was amazing.
Yeah.
You were saying you like Mickey Dolenz more than you thought you would.
Yeah. I always thought he was my least favorite member. And after seeing him live, it's like, wow, he is actually really talented.
Yeah, they had an intermission, and the second set was acoustic, which was decent.
Yeah, that was really good, yeah.
I think my biggest surprise was Take a Giant Step, which sounded pretty cool acoustic. And then Randy Skuzkit was really cool acoustic, too.
Right, yeah, they did do that, yeah.
Usually, I'm used to seeing him with the big, stupid drum during that. Like on the show, with his poncho. By the way, they were selling his poncho for $100.
His poncho. Yeah, they sold his poncho, but not Mike's hat.
Yeah, it looked like a big tablecloth. And let's talk about the venue. It was really nice at the Sony Center.
Yeah, really nice. Really.
I recommend it, and maybe someday we'll see someone else there we like.
We hadn't even got to our seats yet. We were like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
This is going to be awesome, though.
Yeah, it was a great experience. I think there must... I'll have to see a set list, but there must have been at least 30 songs, I would imagine.
I would think so, yeah. Yeah.
Because, yeah. And the band was awesome. His son was in the band, and that one guitar player, Wayne, who was on the left of Mickey, was good.
Yeah.
Drummer was really good, too.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Especially during Stepping Stone.
And Mickey's sister.
Yep.
Mickey, yeah, his sister singing in the back.
Yeah, it was a decent band. They did three songs from Head.
Yeah.
And they were funny, too.
Yeah,
both of them.
Yeah, yeah. I never really expected Mike to be.
No, he was always the serious one.
Yeah.
But they sounded great. And if anyone out there is going to see them in Kitchener, I don't know if that's happened yet, but you know, you're in for a good show.
Yeah, really.
So, wow, one of the best shows you've ever seen.
And you might choke up a bit when they do Daydream Believer, because I did.
Yeah, I did a little bit, too. That's the only Davey song they were still going to do. I heard they flat out said, nah, we're going to honor him, but not doing, like, his songs, like, because right. He's not here to do them.
Right.
So, yeah, they did Daydream Believer near the end, and that was good. Like, Mickey singing it was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
I remember I was talking about a show I saw like back in 2012 after he passed away. They didn't even sing it. The audience sang it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He said, this is a song that's not ours to do anymore. And then he had audience members come up and sing it.
Oh.
So, yeah, by the way, it's been 7 years since he passed away.
Wow, that went by quick. Wow.
Yeah.
7 years.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite song they did tonight?
Tonight?
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to Door into Summer when he did it. And when he did Listen to the Band.
I really
liked that one.
The opener was good, too. I think that's called Good Clean Fun.
Oh, the one I was talking about, where he says, I promise I'd come back and here I am.
Yeah.
And he hadn't been in Toronto since 1960. I don't know if that was a tie-in to that or what, but that's just what I got. That's like, oh, yeah, I promise you'd come back and here you are.
50 years later.
Apparently you had so much fun here.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was amazing. So many good highlights. Drawn a blank, but it was good.
Yeah.
And that was, I realized that was the first time in 15 years you and I had gone to a concert together.
Wow. What was the last one before that?
It was Springsteen.
That's
right.
It was
Colin.
Yes.
And then before that was Petty in 94.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Back in the 80s and early 90s, we were always at shows.
Yeah.
Like you, me, Colin. And
yeah.
Crazy. I don't make it to many big concerts anymore. Like, this was the first auditorium concert in a while I'd seen tonight.
Mm-hmm, me too, yeah.
Outside of bar concerts or, like, I guess the casino was one I'd been to recently.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I saw Garth Brooks 3 years ago.
Oh, cool.
In Buffalo, yeah.
I think prior to tonight, my last concert in an arena was about 9 or 10 years ago.
Jeez.
So. That's the money, too, right?
Oh, I know, yeah. It's crazy now, the ticket prices and that.
But, yeah, I had a good time, and thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thank you. That was one of the best birthday presents I've ever had.
Well, yeah.
Thank you.
It was funny, because I know you were reaching a special age this year, and even before they went on sale, I was like, I feel like I should do something nice for the guy this year. And then that happened, and I couldn't believe they came to our area.
Yeah.
So
I turned 50, by the way.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to say.
Oh, I don't care.
I don't care. That'll be me next year. So. All right.
Honestly, it's nothing. It's just another day.
Oh, that's good.
It's nothing. I was worried about it. Not worried, but a little like, oh, man. But, nah, it's nothing.
Yeah, I haven't had a bad birthday since 25, so I really don't care about it anymore.
You know, actually, the only thing that kind of sucks about it is I'm the first one out of our circle of friends to turn it.
That's right.
Other than that, I was cool with it.
Yeah, it's going to be Colin and then me next July.
Yeah.
So, good times.
Colin's this July?
Next July.
Next July.
Yeah. It's a year from, in 2019. So that's depressing. Let's move on. All right, I'll tell you what. When we come back and the geek calendar, there's some good birthdays on it you're going to get a kick out of. And we'll be right back after playing our other commercial.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
Kristen Hunter, also known as Kiki, is a Canadian artist specializing in polymer clay creations.
Being a geek at heart, most of her work is nerd-themed. Kristen has several lines of geeky creations, including steampunk, comic, and video game-inspired work, as well as sushi-themed jewelry. Kristen is always excited to create the perfect custom piece for any theme or occasion. Please check out her website at kikiscustomcreations.com.
May?
It's Jay Stu, and have no fear, there is more recording from John Mary still coming, but I've hopped over to another car, and I'm with the lovely Sarah Jay.
Hi.
I'm just going to say, first of all, if you're listening to the rest of the show, John Mary and I are talking about going to see the Monkees, and a couple days after that, they had to cancel the rest of the tour because Michael Nesmith had to go to the hospital.
I hope he's okay.
Me too. He's like my favorite.
Feel better soon, Mike Nesmith. We love you.
That's right. And I'm incredibly blessed that I got to go see him. So,
with your best friend John.
That's right.
One of your many best friends.
That's right. So this week's Geekly session was running a little bit short. And I figured I'd comment on something. I got word that the Geekery restaurant shut its doors this week. That's a place we used to do a bunch of events at.
Uh-huh.
And all through the week, people have been coming up to me in person or on Facebook asking me my thoughts on it. And asking me, why'd they close? Why didn't you guys do things there anymore? I figured I'd give you my public statement that I've actually written out here.
You did.
And there's some thank yous I'll mention at the end, and Sarah can listen to it, and if she wants to add anything or any thank yous,
we'll see.
That's fine. But here is my official statement in regards to the Geekery closing. So people have been asking me all week why the Geekery closed. The truth is, I don't know. I had one wonderful person accusing me of never caring about the Geekery and never supporting it. And that couldn't be further from the truth. I love that place, especially the original location, and they had my support from day one. I was there every weekend helping them set up, and I was actually really, really touched when my daughter Diana was asked to help design one of their tables. I was 100% all in with getting the restaurant on the map. At the time the Geekery opened, I was going through a nasty separation, and helping to set up the restaurant and plan events made me feel happy again, and it got my head back in the game. First thing we ever did, event-wise, was the grand opening, and lines were down the block to get in. We had a huge cosplay contest, and that night established some long-lasting friendships in the cosplay community with myself. That was followed up by the very first GeekeryCon in the fall, which proved very successful and spawned 3 sequels. We also helped establish the annual Christmas cosplay dinner event, and we were proud to have a major Star Wars event that featured artists and a burlesque group called the Fan Chicks. That night was capped off by a lightsaber fight at the Niagara Square Cinemas. Not long after that, the Geekery changed locations, and we were happy to go along for the ride. Things were awesome for the first 2 years. Now, it's fairly common knowledge we had a falling out with the Geekery about a year ago. Not sure why. We always had a good working relationship with them. Early last year, we had 3 scheduled events, including a 4th GeekeryCon. I went to ask questions one night about the events, and for the first time ever, there was pushback and limitations on what we were being allowed to do. The working relationship became strained. I did come back to help out with planning the 2nd anniversary show and the Halloween cosplay contest, which seemed like it was the biggest event that place had ever had. After that, we stopped getting asked to prepare events. People ask me all the time why there was never another GeekeryCon, and I just want to go on the record as saying I did try, and after some negotiations and hearing about all the changes they wanted to make, I realized my heart wasn't in it. So, in regards to the actual closing, I will say it's a shame. Because, like I said, I love the original idea behind the restaurant. A place where nerds like myself could get along and not be judged. And personally, I think somewhere along the line, the restaurant lost its way. And that's when they started experimenting with non-geeky events. And again, it's a shame and actually heartbreaking. Now, that being said, I do have many happy memories of our time at the Geekery. And Sarah can chime in on this with me. As a matter of fact, if not for the Geekery, I wouldn't have met and gotten engaged to Sarah.
Exactly, and the Geekery is where you proposed to me.
That's right. Also, that place... Oh, I'm convinced that Danielle and I wouldn't be friends right now if not for the Geekery. We knew each other, but because she was there painting the Back to the Future table, I got a hold of her, and she came back into our lives, and she's one of my best friends, and I actually do consider her a sister.
Yep.
Also, something I'm proud of, Sarah Waterraven joined our team at the second cosplay Christmas event at the Geekery.
Yes.
And having her come out, first of all, to our Civil War Geekery Con, I feel cemented our friendship.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned the grand opening earlier. That was the first event we had there. And that was the first event I ever contacted Candy Cosplay about. And I feel that that really brought her and her family into our lives. And not too long after that, we just became the best of friends.
And we love them.
We love them. And they even came to one of my birthdays one year. And
yeah, they did.
They're coming to the wedding, and we just love those guys. So I do have some thank yous, and if I forget anyone, I'll have you jump in.
If I can remember.
You can remember.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people that helped us out with our events. People like Alfonso from Studio Comics.
Love you, Alfonso.
Always gave his all for the restaurant and always took time out of his busy schedule to come to our events.
Yep.
And that guy's the busiest man in the world, so
he's
I really
awesome.
Appreciate it. I want to thank Candy Cosplay for her guidance and friendship and for taking my call every time we planned something at that event. She literally did become my consultant.
Yes, she did.
I want to say thank you to our regulars for appearing at our cons. Lauren, Jody, Alexandra, Stephanie Lyon, and Sam Noir, as well as anyone who ever appeared as a guest at any of our shows.
Steve-o
as well. I want to thank the celebrities that appeared at our mini-cons. ALB, Toby Proctor, Christian Potenza, Roland Parliament, Shane Kirshenblatt, Monica Zelick, and Megan Carter. It meant the world to me that you guys appeared at our shows. And for that matter, I want to say thank you to the Fan Chicks for 3 great appearances, including one that came out of their pocket,
yep,
where all proceeds went to charity.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say thanks to my team of Sarah, Danielle, and Sarah for not only helping me to get those shows up and running, but putting up with all the worrying I ever did with those shows.
And you did a lot of worrying.
I did. Oh, and I would like to thank the staff of the Geekery, especially 2 individuals that really helped us out. One of them being Elliot.
Yay, Elliot!
That guy always was there to help us move stuff and get tables ready.
And your Death the Kid cosplay was wicked!
And we appreciate all the hard work. And I gotta throw out a thank you to someone who's become like a really good friend of ours,
yes,
and that's Terry.
Terry Joe Scott!
I remember one day I was asked to go interview her just because. And I go, alright, whatever. And now, here we are, years later.
Yep.
So, thanks to Elliot and Terry.
Thank you.
Lastly, I do want to say thank you to Sue and the Geekery. It was fun for the first 2 years, and I had a blast. I really wanted to work more with you guys, and I'm really sorry that never happened. I do hope you all land on your feet somewhere. So, that's basically my thoughts on the matter. I really do wish things had worked out, and maybe we had gotten to do some more stuff there. But I wish everyone the best, and I do wish everyone the best. That's about all I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, thanks for the good times. We'll be right back with more John Mary.
Hello, everybody. This is Alfonso from Studio Comics, creator of Night Spike, and feature on the movie Heroes Manufactured. And right now, you are listening. We Got the Geek.
right, it's time for the Geek Calendar. So coming up next week on June 26th, brand new on DVD and Blu-ray, Black Lightning Season 1. Couldn't get into it. It's a nerd show, though, so maybe you guys out there will give it a shot and like it. On the 27th, it's New Comic Book Day. We've got Teen Titans Special 1. We've got Charlie's Angels Issue 1. And it takes place in the 70s, and it's the three original Angels.
I might have to get that.
Who was your favorite Charlie's Angel?
Oh, jeez. Mine actually wasn't one of the originals. It was Tanya Roberts came.
She was my favorite. Yes. I think it was because we saw her bare naked in that Sheena movie.
Yeah.
And Beastmaster.
Yeah.
Also, I will be Multiple Man number 1 and Sentry number 1. And in theaters next week on the 29th. And I don't know why there's a sequel to this, but The Escape Plan 2. I think the first one was Sylvester Stallone and Schwarzenegger. Mm-hmm. I never saw it.
Me neither.
The second one is Stallone and Dave Bautista.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know
who was... The wrestler.
Yeah. I don't know who was clamoring for that one, but you'll get to see it in theaters next week. All right, so this is the part I know John's looking forward to. Next week's celebrity birthdays. All right, on June 26th, celebrating a birthday is Chris O'Donnell.
Okay.
From those wonderful Batman movies with the nipples on the suits.
Yeah. He was Jill on 2.5 Men, who became Bill.
Was he really?
Yep. You don't remember that one?
No. Oh, yes.
Charlie's ex-girlfriend came back, Jill.
And
back as Bill.
And then he was Robin.
Yep.
Oh, and didn't his mom like him after?
Yep.
Oh, good times. On June 27th, we have J.J. Abrams, who I guess is going to start directing the next Star Wars movie soon. Also, Tobey Maguire.
Okay, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, who I don't think I've seen in a movie since Spider-Man 3. And Chandler Riggs from The Walking Dead. All right, on the 28th, John Cusack.
Wow.
Yeah. And recording star and wonderful actress from many things, Daniel Brisbois.
What?
Daniel Brisbois.
Wow.
Yeah. From Archie Bunker's place?
She was a recording artist?
She is now.
She is now?
She was up for an Oscar, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Daniel Brisbois. Stephanie. Wasn't she Edith's niece?
Yeah, she was. And she was Jewish, so Archie had a problem with her at first.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right. On the 29th, Gary Busey.
Oh, yeah.
Star of Sharknado 4. Remember when he was a good actor and he was in the Buddy Holly story?
Yeah, he was really good in that.
Yeah, and he was even good in Lethal Weapon when he was Mr. Joshua.
Yeah.
And now he's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we also have Michael Carter. Do you know who that is?
No.
Michael Carter was Bib Fortuna in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, okay.
With the weird wraparound head.
Yeah.
All right, and I'm sure this guy was a favorite of yours growing up. Fred Grandy from The Love Boat.
Oh, Gopher.
Gopher.
Yes.
Fine actor.
Was he anything besides Gopher?
He was a senator.
Oh, okay. Senator Gopher, yes.
Right. It's funny because on the last show, Sarah and I were talking about Bernie Coppell.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was his birthday. And you always saw that guy in his robe with, like, alcohol and ladies.
Yeah, he had a bottle of wine and two glasses. He'd be going into his cabin.
That guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. On May 30th, not only do we have... Well, we have one, actually. I don't know why I said not only do we have. Nancy Dussault from Too Close for Comfort.
Oh, yeah.
And then on July 1st, if you can believe it, July's coming up already. Dan Aykroyd and wow. Jamie Farr.
And Jamie Farr. They have the
Jamie
same
Farr.
Birthday?
They do.
Wow.
Do you remember Jamie Farr's Mars Bars commercials from
yes,
the late 80s? I tied my shoes. I get a Mars Bar. Did you watch Aftermath?
A little bit.
I never.
I couldn't really.
I couldn't get into it. I think I got into. Well, I was a kid too. I wasn't really into MASH that much. So if Sarah's listening to this right now, I know she's disappointed in me.
Was Trapper John a MASH spinoff? Sort of, technically.
Sort of. It was the same character.
Yeah.
But Purnell Roberts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
I just remember one episode where Trapper John, Purnell Roberts, was having a dream about being back in Korea, and he was looking for Hawkeye.
Did they show Alan Alda?
They didn't show anybody. You just saw, like, the setting of MASH.
Yeah.
The Mobile Army Surgical Hospital in Korea. And you can hear his voice calling for Hawkeye. And then he woke up in, like, one of the rooms in the hospital.
Well, on the show, was Trapper John Wayne Rogers? Yeah, because yes, B.J. Yes. Honeycutt was Mike Farrell.
That's right, yes.
Why do I know that? Oh, I didn't know that. We were talking earlier, just to kill some time. What are your thoughts on all these, like, revivals of TV shows? I don't mean the reboots. Like, for example, Fuller House. We just had the Roseanne reboot.
Yeah.
What do you think? Like, it's sort of like when we were kids and we would get the TV reunion movies.
Reunion movies, yeah. But now they're doing actual seasons or part seasons. I liked the Roseanne one. I was really excited to hear that it was renewed for a second season. But then, of course, like we talked about earlier, she, you know...
She's crazy.
She decided to shoot her mouth off.
There's been all sorts of rumors about, like, trying to do a show without her, too.
Oh, really?
Like, maybe have it focus on Darlene and her family, or...
I heard something about that. I was really looking forward to the Coach revival.
Yeah.
I guess they scrapped that one.
Yeah, I guess they had a pilot filmed and everything that never got played anywhere.
Yeah. Well, now, what's her name? Shelley Fabre, who played Coach's wife, she wasn't able to do it because of illness.
Yeah.
And, of course, Jerry Van Dyke's passed away, so there was no point at all of ever redoing that.
Yeah.
What else?
There's a new Murphy Brown coming out.
Yeah, I never really watched the old show.
Me neither.
I heard rumors a couple of years ago about one of my favorite shows ever, King of the Hill, a revival.
Yeah, whatever happened with that
one? I don't know if that's going to happen or what. Every once in a while, I go online, I'll look it up, and I don't find out any more information than I already knew. So.
Well, they don't have Tom Petty or Luann anymore.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
That's too bad. That's one of my favorite animated series of all time. I would love it if they would have a continuation of, like a serious show or, like, a sci-fi show or something. Like finally, like, wrap up Quantum Leap.
That would be great, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be. Yeah, because they never did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're probably they'll probably just stick with comedies for a while. Like, any other comedies you'd like to see come back? Like...
Comedies I'd like to see come back.
Yeah, like 20 years later, they do a new season of whatever. I heard a rumor a while ago they were thinking about that 70s show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? I was going to say Seinfeld, because I did see on, remember, Curb Your Enthusiasm, they were doing.
That
they did
was
an episode
great.
Where there was going to be, there was a Seinfeld reunion, but I would like to see that.
What about Friends?
Friends would be good too, yeah. Like, see what they're doing now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good.
Older kids would be old now too?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I would love to see that. Or Who's the Boss?
Who's the Boss?
Benson. Growing Pains. Oh, so many shows.
Mama's Family.
Mama's Family. Is Ken Berry still alive?
He's still alive, yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
And so's Mama.
So's Mama, yeah.
Wow.
Lawrence.
Well, they should then. Let's petition it. Netflix, could you please make a Mama's Family revival? Or 227.
227. Actually, I think Marla Gibbs, isn't she the only one left from the Jeffersons?
I think so, actually. I think so, yeah. Everyone else is gone.
Yeah.
Or they could do another revival and have Daniel Brisbois on it as something. She's still around.
Yeah.
As we just found out.
But she's a recording artist now.
Yeah, she's got albums.
Wow, I gotta check that out. I never knew that.
I know Archie had a problem with her, though. That was...
Yeah. When she first came on the show, he didn't actually come out and say it, but everybody knew that, she was Jewish.
Oh, jeez.
I forget who her father was. I can't remember. Archie didn't like him either.
Oh, man.
But he like...
Now, who was the guy that worked at Archie Bunker's place with him again? What was his character's name? Like, maybe the bartender?
Harry?
Yeah, Harry. I think I brought this up to you a few years ago, and it blew my mind. Harry was the original voice of Boba Fett in Empire Strikes Back.
Real? You did mention that to me before. Yeah.
Blew my mind.
Harry.
And they dubbed them out when they did the revised ones in the 90s.
Oh, yeah?
But, it was Harry from Archie Bunker's place was Boba Fett.
That's funny.
Yeah.
At first, I thought you meant Martin Balsam, who was his partner, though, in Archie Bunker's place.
Martin Balsam?
Yeah, he played... who did he play? I can't remember what his name was now, but he was Archie's partner in the bar. But that wasn't All in the Family. That was Archie Bunker's place.
Wait, wasn't that... I can't remember the actor's name. The guy who was Babe the Pig's owner, wasn't he Stretch Cunningham?
Yeah, James Cromwell.
James Cromwell, yeah.
Yeah.
And he also discovered Warp Speed in Star Trek
That's
First
right.
Contact.
Yep. Yeah.
Good actor, that James Cromwell.
Well, he became huge, and it was like, wow, that was Stretch Cunningham. Well, that's kind of like Lowell from Wings, who ended at, like, Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah. Oh, he was the Sandman, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I brought this up the other day to Sarah. Red Foreman from that 70s show.
Yep.
Used to be like that scary guy from RoboCop. Like he was the guy that melted. No, he was the guy that tried to kill RoboCop.
Clarence Boddicker. Yep.
And whenever I'd see that guy after RoboCop, I'd be like, oh, it's the scary guy from RoboCop.
Yeah.
Up until he did that 70s show. Now anytime, it's Red Foreman.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Ow.
Well, he was in a movie with, what's his name? How can I forget his name? He swears a lot. Pulp Fiction.
Samuel L. Jackson?
Samuel L. Jackson. I think it was called A Time to Kill.
Get out of town. Red Foreman?
Red Foreman was the Grand Dragon of the KKK.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Until he got burned to death.
Oh, dumbass.
Yeah, he was in that, yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. I know he had a scene in that Travolta Christian Slater movie, Broken Arrow.
Oh,
yeah. I think he was the guy that talked about the Broken Arrow.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And even then, it's that guy from RoboCop.
And he was a psychiatrist, I think, on that Angelina Jolie movie. Life Interrupted, it might have been called.
Oh, I saw that in the theater. I don't know why.
Mental hospital or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Why'd I see that movie? Oh, man.
But now he's made appearances on The Ranch, you said, too, though.
Oh, yeah. He swears on it all the time.
That'd be funny to see.
He came on the same season that Kitty Foreman came on, but she was playing nothing to do with him. She was somebody's mother.
Oh, okay.
Because they've had, it's Danny Masterson and Ashton Kutcher, but they've had her on. They had Fez on for a bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Eric's never been on, or Laura Prepon.
Laura Prepon, yeah, she's
on my list, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch Orange is the New Black?
I was. I watched it up until last season.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, she's on that one.
Oh, man. I will say this before we end the show. It's weird trying to park in Toronto now.
It is. It's very weird.
Like, the first lot we went to only accepted credit cards after we were already parked.
Yeah, they don't tell you that, though, until you wedge yourself into the most awkward spot in the whole place.
The second lot would only take it was like $15, but they would only take change.
A credit card or $15 in change? Yeah. Everybody carries that around.
Yeah. But then we found a place for $6, and kudos.
That was still a bit of a hassle getting out, but at least it was only $6.
Yeah, and they accepted, like, actual money.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, Toronto, you're nice to visit, but you're a confusing city.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
Anyhow, we're back in St. Catharines. It was cool rambling about TV with you, man.
Yeah. And I love rambling about TV.
Oh, definitely. Hopefully we'll see another concert before the next 15 years.
I hope so.
Because we'll be 65 then, and that's not cool.
Well, we got this Meridian Center and the Performing Arts Center where they're just getting, like, some crazy big-name people.
Yeah.
So
who knows?
I'd definitely like to go to the Sony Center again. That'd be, like, I don't think there would be a bad seat in that place.
No, like even the seats we originally had tonight before we got upgraded would have been that pretty good.
And then they said they upgraded us to the main concourse or whatever it is. But if you don't like it, your balcony ticket is still valid. You can go up there if you want. What? Really?
That was a good deal.
Yeah, it was.
So thank you, Sony Center, for upgrading our tickets. Well, that's about all I got. So, thanks everyone for listening to John and I ramble on about the monkeys and TV. And we'll see you next time on the Geekly Session.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.